back, guys, to episode 75 of the Kind Nice Podcast. We have been, we're back now. We were gone for a little bit, but you're going to expect, you know, weekly episodes. First and foremost, we want to shout out the Patreon. Thanks for sticking with us through the summer. If you want to be a part of the Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/kindanice. Patreon members get exclusive access to all the video content episodes. We have a full video studio we record these podcasts on. So you have like full, you know, production value episodes. You get to see some extra content as well. They also get a, I forgot about this one, but they get 20% off all the merch.
Oh, like what you're wearing right now?
Yeah, what I'm wearing right now. If you don't see what I'm wearing, it's because you're not on the Patreon.
It's pretty sweet. Are,
there's a 20% off link in the Patreon for you guys. And then if you just want the merch, don't want to be a patron, all of our links essentially now are on the Instagram page. So if you click on the link tree in the Instagram page, you can go to the merch thing, go to the Patreon, go to the YouTube channel too. I'm starting to release older episodes from like 2 years ago, a year and a half ago. So you can go to the YouTube, check that out. Yeah, it's been a while. I was just thinking, man, we're getting close to 100. I don't think when we first started this, I didn't know if we'd like do it forever, but it feels like something that I could do forever. It really does.
Yeah, it's the power of momentum.
Yeah. Well, because it's easy. Like, it's not... Like, now that we have the rhythm, it's like you just make an episode, and then I, like, have my... what's it called? Just things to do and making episodes. And also, freaking AI is making it so much easier. Like,
we're utilizing it?
Yeah, dude. So the clips that I posted on Instagram, yeah, there's, like, six of them.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I've been seeing them.
They were all, like, AI generated.
Really?
Well, no, I made the first two.
And then you just said AI, replicate this, recreate it?
No, so there was an ad on Instagram for this AI thing for podcasters, essentially, almost. And I put the whole hour and a half episode into the AI thing.
And it just pumped out a bunch of clips?
Literally just pumped out clips.
Wow.
And like, I edited them a little bit.
Yeah.
But it was like, for the most part, like, it's pretty much like...
Technology these days. What can't it do?
It's going to be nuts, dude. It's only going to go crazier from here, I think.
Yeah. I was talking to, I was at my nephew's birthday yesterday. And so like the whole family was there and my dad was like, yeah, how are things going? Like, what have you been up to? And I was like, man, and somehow we got onto the topic of technology. And I was like, dad, you'll be watching the next couple of years. We're going to see so much like progression when it comes to utilizing what is like being launched now. And he was like, oh yeah. Okay. I was like, you watch, dad, you watch.
So. Yeah, no, AI is going to do some crazy stuff. Mm. What else did I say? Oh, the reviews thing. We actually have a new one. We hadn't had one for a while, but I'm going to say it earlier in the episode. We usually always do it at the end. But if you guys want to give us a review and get a shout out, go to the iTunes. We've only done iTunes because I think on Spotify you can't see the episode or you can't see the review like list, but
oh really?
Yeah,
that's a bummer. I love, like, Spotify is my go-to personally.
Yeah, for me too,
man.
But yeah, if you give us a review on Apple Podcasts, we'll give you a shout out. The review is from Meme Deb W.
There you go, Meme Deb.
She says, love it when you have Nick Hansen on the show. He seems like a great person, so humble. Nick is a great guy.
Yeah, until you get to know him.
Yeah.
Just kidding. No, he's even better when you get to know him. Nick, I called Grant McCartney a couple, like a week ago. I was like, hey, Grant, I got a question for you. But as soon as I answered, I was like, oh, this isn't Grant. And he was like, Nick. Hey, why are you calling me this number, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, nah, who is this? And I was like, Nick? And he was like, no. And I was like, Nick Hansen. I was like, what are you guys doing together? He's like, yeah, we're in Hawaii doing this fun run thing.
Oh, you didn't know, dude?
I mean, I knew they were doing it. I didn't know it was that weekend.
They're still,
like, I didn't know
they're having the time of their lives.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, hey. Yeah. And so he tried to give me a hard time. And I was like, hey, who else would call Grant McCartney, have you answer the phone and immediately know who it was?
Yeah.
I love you, Nick. And I know your voice. And he was like, oh.
So and Nick is a good
worked
guy.
Worked it out. He's a sweetie.
Shout out to Deb. I think that might be one of our patrons. I'm not sure. But yeah.
Thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you for, you know, tuning in, listening. So last week we talked a little bit about the show because obviously Daniel.
Finale.
Completed Mabu Dorayama.
Total victory. Minus a million.
Yeah, minus the million due to, you know.
I Googled it too. Because Abby was like, you didn't get total victory. And I was like, wait. I was like, I'm not grand champion. That much is certain. I said, but I'm pretty sure total victory literally just means you completed the last stage. Like you finished it. And she was like, no. So then I Googled it and I sent her a screenshot through, like, I don't know if it was Wikipedia or somewhere.
Send a screenshot.
I have to. Otherwise, Abby's like, nah, I don't believe it. That's all just conjecture.
It's crazy how much Abby relies on Google for anything and everything in her life. Anytime you're arguing with things. Me, she's like...
It's worth the Google.
Yeah. Oh, let me just Google
let
that.
Let me proof you.
I'm like, hold on.
Yep. She doesn't just... I mean, I appreciate it because I'm like, oh, you say that? Yeah, I believe you. And sometimes that's to my detriment on occasion.
Well, why can't you just be not grand champion? Why, like, you know, in her heart, you could have gotten total victory without her looking it up on Google. You
know? No, her heart is she is set on the facts.
$1 million.
The facts. She's like, that's don't tough. Give me fiction, give me facts and only facts. I'm like, okay, all right.
Yeah, I mean, she's Ricky Bobby. If you ain't first, you're last.
Dang, that's crazy.
But yes, so total victory was attained by a couple of us, and it was super cool. And even since then, I mean, I saw Vance Walker just last weekend, at the barn competition, which was awesome. First time out there in the St. Louis area. Checking out what these boys, the Folsoms, have done with the property out there. Huge, amazing property. Got to go out there, compete on a 3-stage course. And if you haven't seen the videos or checked them out, guys, these were some of the craziest obstacles.
He's crafty, dude. Oh my gosh, he pulled some crazy stuff.
I was blown away and really happy with, you know, actually how well I did. Cause I was like, man, obstacles like this, like a lot of them are, I don't want to call them like trick obstacles, but it's like super techie, techie. And I was very pleased at being able, I think I got every single one except the last obstacle on stage 3, which is like, you know, like Mike Cook's Bermuda Triangle salmon ladder. It's like, that, but you're inside the ladder.
Oh,
and you have to swing the whole thing on a pivot. Ooh. And then it locks up at the top like so.
Do they have like
you get the bar up and drop? It's
engineering background or something. I mean, you have to.
I mean, a lot of it's self taught. I mean, I talked to Sam. We drove. Here's a story. We drove Abby and I and Sam Folsom and Isabella. We all drove there, and I was like, why don't we want to fly? And they're like,
you drove from Houston.
We drove from Houston to the barn.
Where's the barn?
12 hours away.
Why would you do that?
Abby loves road trips.
No, dude.
And it was way more cost efficient because it was like 3 days out. And we're like, hey, none of us have got flights yet, have we? Let's just rent I think we got a Turo with unlimited miles.
Yeah, you have to.
Which was awesome. Super, super cool.
Yeah.
But we drove, and the whole conversation, I'm like asking, you know, Sam his thoughts on different, you know, course formats and different gyms, what they're doing, you know, different obstacle designs and all the different companies. And I mean, this guy knew everything about everything.
He was big into it.
I mean, talk about like, cause that's what he does too, right? Like he builds obstacles, he designs them, fabricates them now too. And he gave me so much more information than I ever thought I wanted. And yet at the same time, I was like, dude, you've studied, like you've done your research. And so their courses there that they build their obstacles, a lot of it is just birthed out of, you know, the desire, the dream of going big with it. Yeah. And I fully believe that these guys are going to do it. And so their course was really cool. It was a lot of fun. And I'm definitely going to go back there. They even brought in Mike Cook and we had Ninja Church on Sunday. It was awesome.
Oh, was that in that area?
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was cool. First time at that event for Mike and myself, because this was the third annual time they'd done it. And man, I forgot how much I love the community of Ninja.
Yeah.
Because now we're like 3 or 4 generations in. You got like the OG veterans, which I was kind of sneaked into that one as like the youngest of that generation. Then we've got like the next gen.
I would call you second gen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really am second gen. Yeah. But I think
first gen is like Brian Cretch, like Stratus, Godfather,
Travis 1 through 6, all those guys. Yeah, 1 through 6. Yeah.
Honestly. Yeah.
So then I stepped in and a few others that actually, you know, stuck with it, I guess, over the years and maintained success and things like that. And then we've got like 2 or 3 other generations there. And so it was really cool. I love getting to travel and connect with the community, connect with the different gyms or different places.
You know who's first gen that you wouldn't think is first gen?
Who?
Flip.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, dude, Flip is first gen for sure.
Bro, yeah, he is.
OG as heck.
He is a beast.
Man, yeah, and he's still crushing.
I think you are like
it.
The young first gen. I give you that.
You what?
You're like
Flip did boot camp, dude.
That's true. Yeah.
He's like the last tail end of the first gen.
The next gen, they don't recognize me as like coming in with them.
I think he's too big of a name to be part of the first gen.
I think that's why he's first gen, because he's so, his name from like the beginning, he's been like Yeah. I mean, he's been killing it for how many seasons? Almost 10 seasons.
Like 10 years involved in the sport, 8 seasons on it.
He wouldn't sneak into the first gen. Yeah, I think he's I think he marks the start of the second gen.
Mm-hmm. That too. Yeah, he's the tail end of the beginning of the new. Yeah. Because these young guys have been doing it.
Yeah,
because
he was, I mean.
Yeah. And he's been able to do it 18, 19.
Yeah,
I was,
21 when I first started on the show. And 2 years of training before that. But Bergy and I got in a super long conversation about this exact topic, about the different generations. And man, and as of this recording, they just had the first NSC competition over this last weekend. Yeah. And it was wild. So many of the heaviest hitters on the ninja scene were out there. And the podium was not what I initially would have guessed. I'm not surprised at all because the top 15 guys are all just interchangeable with podium. Yeah. And I was blown away. I mean, shout out to the podium. You guys know who you are. They haven't posted about it yet, so I'm going to wait a minute.
That is right. You're tail end. You're the beginning of the second gen.
Yeah, with the 19-year-olds dropped it down. Yeah.
I think...
Because you're definitely the leader of the new school.
I would still think I'm in Daniel's generation.
You're the leader of the new gen, bro. You're definitely the leader of the...
Then that would be three. That wouldn't be two.
No, you're two.
You guys,
one.
Let us know your
you're
thoughts
two.
In the comments.
Three is the new.
No, because then you're not separating all those guys that were big before Daniel. Because I think Daniel started a more athletic side of people. The ninjas just got better. And then I started a younger generation. But I think it would go one... And then Daniel starts two.
Some weird hybrid.
I don't even think I started three. I think when I started Ninja, I think it was still second gen. But then I was the catalyst for three to happen years after I already started.
That's why I feel like he's the catalyst for two to start. And then you're the...
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. I don't, give us your thoughts, you guys, because we're trying to iron all this out. Because when you came in, kid, it was you, Day, Fordney...
But none of those guys ever got the...
They did for about two seasons.
No, but I don't feel like anybody I don't feel like most people would know who they are. If you ask fans of the show.
That's fans will know Matthew Day because he was Power Tower multiple years and was just crushing it. Still doing a great job, but less of the competition side and more
local,
of the business.
Fordney was local.
That's true. Fordney's still crushing it.
He couldn't shine on the show.
Yeah.
It's hard, dude. You get out on that. The production side of it. Yeah. I think we talked about this last time. Just the production side of competition on the show specifically is so dramatically different.
You can't train for that either.
You really can't. Yeah. The only way to train for that is trial through fire, years.
I don't know. I think it's because I got immersed into it through just going to see the show first.
Being around it so often.
And then testing and then competing to where it was never shocking to me.
You also got blessed. You did college first.
I got to ease my way in.
Yeah. So you were nighttime, you still got to be on this big stage and kind of do your thing.
College Madness was fun, dude. I still remember the awe of
They filmed that one during the day,
time.
Right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. You got the daytime, then the lights came on afterwards.
But College Madness just didn't feel like Ninja Warrior. It felt different.
It means a one-on-one. I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Well, it felt like a one-on-one, but a team style.
Yeah.
I hated College Madness.
You hated college?
Shout out my team. I couldn't do anything. I remember, we've told this story 1,000 times. I just remember giving my teammate a 15-second lead and then him just falling and just going, cool, dude, I guess we're leaving. Sick. Appreciate that.
The pressure.
I was so mad.
Fast is always the last leg. You should know that.
That's true.
No, it wasn't about being fast. It was
the best should always be the last leg.
I'll tell the story real quick in case I haven't told it before, because actually we might not have.
I don't know. I don't think we've spoken much about
college. Madness essentially was Ninja versus Ninja.
The college edition.
College edition. So it was just young college kids. I was probably one of the only ones that was a proper ninja.
Yeah.
There's a few others that were pretty good, but I was definitely top two, top three.
Yeah. You'd already been training for years.
Yeah. But my team essentially was two, one guy that was going Iron Sports at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then this other random chick from U of H who I didn't really know. She didn't train any ninja. She just kind of, they threw on our
just
team.
Just an athlete.
This. Yeah. And so the format of the show was you do 1-on-1s and then to move on to I think the semis or the qualifiers or something like that, you have to, it's a relay race at some point. And I remember the relay race is just the regular course we all ran. It's up to the, so there's three sections. There's the first sections balance, some cargo net rope swing thing. And then I think the tag is there and then it's balance, some upper body obstacle, warped wall. And then there's another tag.
Then the back half.
And then it's salmon ladder, nunchucks, and then a rope climb. I don't know why I thought like this, but I never even, it didn't cross my mind to think if he falls, we just lose.
Because also the other teams were like scrubs. I mean, they were like,
they just have never done.
I think
ninja.
The dude we lost to played like ultimate frisbee or something. Oh. I was like, okay, this guy trains at Iron Sports.
Let's stop the podcast right now. You lost to a dude who plays ultimate frisbee.
I was like, this dude.
Sorry, frisbeers.
The anchor of our round, I was like, okay, he like trains at Iron Sports. Like, it didn't cross my mind to think like he's gonna fall. The like the ultimate frisbee guy is gonna beat him. Yeah. No way. I was like, as long as I give him a lead, we'll
like,
be okay.
Did the ultimate frisbee guy finish the course or just went further?
He finished.
Oh wow. Yeah,
that's why we lost. Because he had a 15-second lead.
Yeah.
If he would
have
finished, then
shout out to the frisbees.
Shout out to the frisbees.
But the reason I put him there was because the last part was a rope climb.
Mm-hmm.
At that point in time, I had not trained rope climbs like I had now.
I
knew I could get up the rope. But he was like, "Oh, dude, I'm ROTC. I'm a rope."
Okay.
Monster.
Yeah. They have
like,
to do ropes.
I was like, ROTC, military rope climbs makes sense. So I was like, "Yeah, dude." And he told me,
logic.
"He's like, put me back there." And I was like, "All right, like, yeah, like I'll put you on the rope."
Instantly, man. But you gotta get there.
And it's the worst thing too, because I get like. The chicks, I think actually my girl gave me like a 2-3 second lead. I think she did well. Tags me. I like blow the other dude out of the water. He has 15 seconds. I tag my teammate. Then I'm just on top of the warp ball watching.
Yeah.
And that's all I can do.
Yeah, you're just helpless.
I'm watching him kind of struggle on the same ladder. He's real shaky. And I'm like, oh no.
Oh.
He gets up one rung and he's like panicking a little bit, adjusting, gets up sideways, fixes it. I'm just trying to cheer him on. I'm like, hey, come on, just take your time, bro. You got plenty of time. Homeboy's still like on the balance obstacle. Take your time. Boom, falls. I'm like, And then I just wait, 10 seconds for the guy to tag the other guy. And I just watch this like 210-pound ultimate frisbee player finish the course while he's like just shaking. And like take like a good 3 minutes to finish these three obstacles.
Yeah,
and I'm just like,
yeah.
And then we got sent home and I was like, this was terrible. Yeah,
you know, some of the best ninjas fall on the salmon ladder. You know, Grant's not here. Grant's not here right now, but I mean, he's falling
about
on the
say,
ladder.
Name one.
Name one. Actually, I can't name one. Victor. Victor is phenomenal.
Yeah.
That dude is also locally amazing.
Victor is amazing.
Yeah.
Did you ever meet Johnny Wilder?
Wilder's another one who
he was at the barn
better,
comp.
Yeah.
Johnny, we love you. We support you. Yeah. And if you guys aren't following him, he's still doing crazy ninja stuff now.
I thought he would like have popped off way more than he has. Because back in the day, he was winning competitions left
and
right.
All over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, if part of it's, I call it the luck of the draw, but like just getting on the show is the hardest thing. And
has
if
he never been on the show?
I don't believe so.
Oh, really?
No, I don't think so. If he has, it just wasn't a great showing.
Yeah.
Or one that the,
I mean, that's
the show.
Happened to Victor. Victor,
yeah.
If Victor would have gotten a second shot, I think he would have done great. Because Victor,
because he did get on.
He did get on. He just fell in he did great as qualifiers, I think, but he fell in the salmon ladder semifinals night.
Dude, and that's where it gets so tough.
And Victor
with
actually
show.
Like listens to all of our episodes. Like Victor always messages me and he's like, dude, it's so great show. I love the show. So
I was like, dude,
shout
that
to
one kind of sucks. Don't
talk about me failing the salmon ladder on the show maybe next time.
But yeah, there's still, I love, and again, that's why I love the community so much. The way that I do is, we can still, there are still options and opportunities to go out to these various events.
Yeah.
And I mean, regardless of, it being an elite high stakes competition, just the people there are still just some of the coolest people that you'll meet from all over the country and just great friendships. I was telling Johnny, I was like, dude, I haven't seen you in like 5 years at least. And I've known you like 9 years
decade.
Now. I was like, bro, we've, and there's just that bond, that history.
He
that
never
kind of
stopped
you.
Training. He just still.
No, I mean, he went to college full time, similar to Victor.
Okay.
Got married and has his big boy job now, which is awesome. Good for him.
Yeah.
But even he and I were talking about the struggles of, being an adult, having a full time career, having a wife, and all of
married?
These. Yeah, yeah. I think he just hit maybe his year anniversary. If not, then he's less than a year. But having all these other peripherals and responsibilities and still wanting to be an elite level athlete in this sport where it's so, there's such little reward for that yet currently. And so we talked long and hard about that and, just got to encourage him and talk about just priorities. And yeah, I was like, dude, as long as you love it, like keep doing it. And if for no other reason than just the fact that you like to get stronger, you enjoy the sport, you like the creativity of what the sport offers, and you love the community.
Yeah.
And so it was a great conversation. And again, I'll say I love just the friends that I've made over about a decade now in the sport myself has been really, really, really cool.
Yeah. I think that can actually be a good transition to something that a lot of people ask me questions about. And it's like building friendships. For me, now that I look back on it, I mean, most of the really good friends I have, if not all of them, are through Ninja in some means. I mean, like, first it would be through Iron Sports, but that mm-hmm. would, I would consider that being under Ninja, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, almost everybody I'm super close to has something to do with Ninja. And I don't think, like, without Ninja, I still think I would have made friends, like, great friends.
Yeah.
But it was just a place of, like, a bunch of people that, like, I don't know. I guess it was just
similar,
like,
interests.
Similar interests. And high quality people too that are like determined and have self discipline.
Motivated. I
mean, yeah, seriously.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, but like, I mean, I can count off like 10 people just to, like, that I'm really close to still, and that comes from Ninja. And I have a bunch of young guys like always ask, and it's happened like 5 times within the past like month. It's just like I was on Discord the other day, and like these are kind of like high school friends I'm not super close to, but we'll play video games together once in a while just to keep up.
Acquaintances.
And his younger brother hopped on. His younger brother's first year of college, and they were I hopped in afterwards, and they were talking about his younger brother's like really struggling to make good friends in college. And he's just like, I'm not finding like quality friends. And he was asking for advice, and he's asked me for advice, because he's like, dude, you feel like, I mean, you always have good people around you. How did you do it? And my answer was, I'm going to say my answer again, but then I want you guys to kind of pitch in on it. My answer to him was essentially, one was like, you have to be intentional about making friends, but at the mm-hmm. same time, is my belief is like, you can't force it. Because I think if you're in a desperate place to make friendships, you're going to make poor decisions and make bad friends, because you're just lonely and desperate to make friends. So you'll take anything that is available.
Yeah.
So like and I never did this stuff, but I told them to do it. But in college, I think the best way is, and I didn't need it because I had the Ninja community and stuff.
Yeah, you already had an established one.
But in his like thing, I was like, dude, go to like, I mean, as corny as they are, right? For me, like, dude, college events are so corny, like bowling night, like all these, I don't even know what to call them, like not PR, but like, what would you call them, Rock?
Social.
Yeah, the social events. The social college events cringed me out. I went to a few of them. It's a bunch of just awkward, like, young adults trying to figure it out. And I'm like, I hate this vibe. I'm getting out of here.
Yeah.
But I told them to go to those. But I told them to go to those with the intention of, like, wanting to do the activity that's done. So, like, and I think Grant gave me this advice, so I'm going to shout him out. But I equated it to when you're, like, so say you have, like, and I'm go to dating, but say you like have a chick you're kind of interested in, you're not sure if you'll like click with her in person, maybe you've like seen her a few times. Grant, I think, told me, just pick something you want to do, right? Like for the date, pick like, I don't know, if you want to go eat acai bear bowls, which is what I love doing, it's like my go-to, do that. Or if you want to play mini golf, you love mini golf, or play volleyball, like pick something that you're going to enjoy doing. So if the chick is lame, you're still stoked on the activity you're doing. That's what I told this kid. I was like, yeah, like, you'd love bowling, go to like a bowling social event and like ball out, bowl, like have a great time with something you love
doing.
See
who you meet.
And if you meet somebody there and you click and it happens, you're stoked. And if it doesn't,
you still had a good time.
Yeah, you still had a good time, nothing lost. Definitely don't go to like, I don't know, like a pottery thing, just trying to force friendships.
Man, I hate pottery.
Yeah, like picking it, like just go do activities that you enjoy. You'll be around people that are similar to you by default, because they enjoy the same things you involve.
Yep.
You'll find friends that way. Yep. I think that was my advice to him. Dude, and I told him not to force it. Like, I think the number one thing is like, don't force it. And
because people can also tell. They can perceive if you're like, if you're there
that's
looking to try to find friends.
Dude. If when dudes are like, oh, let's be friends. I'm like, get 10 steps back
up,
buddy.
A bit. Yeah.
Step back.
Yeah. And then it becomes like self-fulfilling prophecy. It's like, I don't have any friends. Oh, it's because you don't know how to be friendly.
Desperation.
Like, but honestly, I mean, that's super good. And what I would say is, like, you know, I look into, because I've got so many different areas of my life where I have different groups of friends. Mm-hmm. I mean, shoot, my family now is so big that, like, they're their own group of friends. Like, we do stuff all the time just without even the need to. Yeah. So I got like the family group and that whole environment.
It's like a
and culture.
Cheat code.
It is.
Big family.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah. It's so good. You got to be careful though, because it's it can get messy real quick.
Yeah, that's true.
But when it's good, oh, it's good. But then, like, I grew up in church culture, so I've got like a whole church group and community, and then I've got, you know, the whole Ninja community, and then other random people that I've met along the way, where it's people I'll meet at, like you said, events or activities that I go to, and we click, we have similar interests, and it's like, oh, well, hey, let me hit you up sometime. What's your number or email or something?
Yeah.
And so I've got like a whole bunch of, I would call them, I mean, they're friends, but not ones that I see regularly based on the things that I do. And yet I still treat them well. I just don't see them as often.
Yeah.
And so I tell people all the time when it comes to making friends, or especially like if you're looking to find like deeper, closer, more meaningful relationships, even of like the opposite sex, then I'm like, okay, well, like what pond are you searching? You know, like where are you spending your time? Because depending on where you're at will determine the type of people.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So for me, I'm very excited and just happy to have so many high quality people that, though they're not perfect by any means, like we're going in similar directions and we're there to help sharpen each other, help call each other out. They're not just yes men, especially the ones that are closer to me, yourself included, are not just like, oh yeah, good job, Daniel. Oh yeah, great. Like, yeah, you're talking about this. Yeah, dude, wonderful.
I'm the opposite of
you're
a yes
the opposite.
Man.
Yeah. You're like, hey, let me play devil's advocate here and just throw a wrench.
I mean, I'll tell you when you do a really good job, but for the most part, like, you got to put people back where they belong. You know what I mean? Can't let the egos just get pumped up.
Yeah. And that's not always what it means to be a friend. Yeah. And sometimes that's what we look for when it comes to friends. Yeah. And if we get anything less than that, then I'm like, oh, well, you're not my friend. You don't love me.
Yeah.
But sometimes they do. And they have enough of their act together in their life that they can honestly, without any other agenda other than to help you, kind of call those things out, call you higher. So yeah, the type of friends you have do matter very much.
I think what you're touching on too is another thing I forgot to talk to him about it, but it's like a tier level for friendships.
Don't bring everyone into that inner circle.
He was saying like, yeah, I'm like finding these dudes and I'm just like getting disappointed with them because they're not, they're either not like supporting the same values as me, or they're not giving as much energy as I'm giving to them, and they're just taking and I'm like giving. And he was like, yeah, I'm just frustrated on the friendship levels and stuff. And I'm like, dude, it's okay to have like C tier level friends, D tier level friends, to where like you go to, like, I had a ton of them in college where I was like, I don't talk to them, maybe message them once in a while, see how they're doing now, but like they were like good friends. I did like college with them, and then like we moved on in life, and then we'll still touch base here and there, but I'm not hanging out with them every week.
Yeah. And it's not that could never change. It's just like you're not.
I think we both know that that's where the friendship is.
Yeah.
Like I'll help
the expectation.
Them yeah. But, and then there's like friendships that like are going to last a lifetime where you're like, you know, you can go like, you know, 3 months, four months without seeing somebody.
A couple years.
Yeah. And then you still like pick up where it left off and you can grow from there. But yeah, don't try to force friends into higher tiers where they belong, I think is a big thing too. Yeah. Like if
recipe for disappointment.
And it's
every
okay.
time.
I'll put somebody high up. I think it's like, for example, like I have an example in mind. I'm not going to say too much about it because the guy might listen to this, but but there is a certain guy that like I put up in like a higher tier. I would say there's like S tier is number one, then A tier, B tier, C tier, D tier. But I had him like right around A. Like we were pretty close. But then like he disappointed me like a few times. I just knocked him down to B and it was all good. Like we're still great friends. There's like no trauma came from it. No drama. I was just like, oh, like you're not the guy I thought you were. We're still friends. I'm just like not going to be as close to you as I thought we were going to be.
Yeah.
And like, I think a lot of people struggle doing that because they're like, they're either all in or all out, and they can't play that middle ground of like, we're friends, but there's also like boundaries. There's things that like keep this friendship a friendship versus like us hating each other.
Yeah. And I think one of the best ways to tell where the level of friendship is without awkwardly being like, hey, what type of like, how close
what
are we
tier
actually?
Am I in?
Yeah, exactly. Without doing that. One of the, I think the quickest way to help determine that is like, what are they willing to sacrifice for you? Like, are you just a convenience to them? Like, do they only hit you up when they need something from you? And it's not that there's anything wrong with that. If they're just like, hey, you want to jump online and play this video game? Cool. Yeah, I'm available. I can do that. Like, are you just kind of filling a void in their life? Or, you know, some of the deepest friendships that I have, and I only realize this after the fact, it's where I would shoot them a text or give them a phone call, or maybe even they would just see something off whenever we were interacting together and they're like, hey, like what's going on? Like, hey, you know, can I help in some way? Do you need just a listening ear? Can I, these people will go out of their way when they don't need to. And I literally see sacrifices being made by them for no other reason and no other agenda than just to help me or to be there for me, to make themselves available. Yeah. And man, that's a quick tell, because I can also tell in my own self how close a person is to me with what I'm willing to sacrifice.
Yeah.
Some friends, if I get a text message, I call them up immediately. I'm like, hey, what's going on? How can I help? Others, I'm like, hey, man, like, I'm sorry, that sucks.
But talk to my assistant.
Yeah.
I'll get to you in 3 business days.
But like, and that's like a heart check that I try to keep in myself. And it's a way to help, just if for no other reason, just kind of see where people are at.
Yeah,
and sometimes I want to move people up, and usually I only move people. Usually people start pretty high with me.
I put people high first.
Yeah. But mm-hmm. they yeah. move themselves down. Yeah, like yeah, I'm yeah. not just going to be like, I'm done way. With you. You didn't do the X, Y, and Z. But if they do something that moves them down, I won't love them any less. I'm not going to speak ill of them, yeah. but they get less access to my life.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, you know, even the Bible talks about, like, don't cast your pearls before swine, i.e. like, don't give the greatest, you know, the deepest
pearls
parts.
Away, man.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not going to open myself up and make myself vulnerable to you if you're just an acquaintance that's going to go spread this this vulnerable information across to anyone else, you know? Just, yeah.
What's your take on this, Rock?
There's a few takes that I got. I guess right now, going off the topic, you were just saying about kind of like letting them know what being there for them, but also you can... You know you got a good friend when you can tell them when you're offended, like when, or you've been, you felt offense, because you can't let that linger. You know, you can't let that build up, because that gets anger. Then you resent that person.
For,
they don't even know why half the time.
Yep.
You never even told them what was going on. You even know that, hey, I extended my stuff to you. I feel like you weren't appreciative of that or something like along those lines. So you always got to let them know if you feel any type of offense. That's how you also got to tell them when they're doing wrong. That's a real friend. I mean, kid. 1,000 times has told me, hey, you're slacking right now. You're slacking. That ain't it. That ain't what you're supposed to be doing. Countless times, literally, he's done that. That's how you know he's a real friend. But also, like, going to that college kid, the way to, like, especially in college. So
yeah.
If you're...
He had a better college experience than me, honestly.
Oh. Also, for that college kid, it kind of shows, kind of almost a biblical how you're saying, it's like, man, it's not good for man to be alone. He's feeling that. He's feeling that right now. He's like, this is not good. I'm alone. This is not fun. And that sense of belonging we all desire and want to have.
We were made for meaningful relationships.
Exactly.
We were.
Uh-huh. And so, I mean, the best way for him, especially, like, whatever his major is, find. That's easy. Find those groups. There's always an organization for that major.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So go and find that, because all those people literally have the same goals as you.
Yeah.
And also, they're going to push you. I remember when I was in college, I did an accounting organization, and all those people were fine to get the higher grade. It's like we're working out pretty much the same thing. We're just studying. It was like, what'd you get? Oh, I'm going to beat you next time. It was just things like that.
That healthy, competitive drive.
Exactly. And so he can join an organization and growing within that. And then if he plays video games, there's e-leagues on every single college nowadays. So do esports, any of those type of things. And like you said, a bowling, if he likes bowling, there's clubs for almost everything now in college. Mm-hmm. Like,
and if not clubs, extracurricular, or like even just like outside activities
you
can be involved in.
Gym's always a perfect place to go.
But I told him also to be careful because of that, like the 5 people you hang around the most, like, because what you're describing is like good relationships, like people that are going to push you to be greater. Mm-hmm. But you can easily make friends that are going to do the opposite.
And you won't even find that out till maybe later,
too. Like, especially in college.
Yeah,
especially in college.
You go to a party and realize, oh, they really do stuff like that. Yeah. You got knocked down a few tears, buddy.
Yeah, no, it's funny because I don't know why. Like, I just am not influenceable. Like, all the volleyball people hang out with, like, drink and vape and. Especially like the few of the guys that I'm close with. I'm like, dude, like, I get you drinking. That's like fine. But like, why are you vaping, dude? You're a grown man.
You're smoking flavored air.
Sipping
on this peach watermelon like bliss. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. Like, smoke cigarettes, dude. Like, that's more respectable than you vaping.
Yeah.
But yeah, like they... And one of the younger chicks...
Not that you condone smoking cigarettes. Like, it's
I don't,
not good
but...
for you.
Kind of nice to not support smoking cigarettes.
Smoke. But like, if you're going to smoke, you know, smoke something real versus flavored water. But one of the younger chicks started vaping, and she hadn't vaped for like 2 years, but it's because literally everybody in that group vapes.
Wow.
And I'm like, why are you vaping? And she's like, oh, because everybody else is vaping. I'm like, dang, that's really how people like work.
Yeah.
Like, birds of a feather flock together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so like, you have to be careful about the people you surround yourself with, especially when you're desperate, when you're lonely.
Yeah.
You're just going to go to the first person who
to fit in.
Could be a terrible influence.
Exactly.
You'll end up even lower than you started.
All for the sake of being with somebody, and then that person could mess you up. That even goes to relationships as well. I mean, people put up with the wrong person for too long for no reason at all, other than they don't want to be alone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just comfort, too. Mm-hmm. You're just used to it.
Oh, respect yourself, people.
It's a complicated life. I mean,
yeah, it is. And that's the thing, that everyone has to give each other grace. This is all our first time doing this. We're all living this thing the first time. Like, so like, I had to learn that with my parents. I had to give them grace. I got older. I'm like, man, you really did a lot of great stuff for me that I didn't recognize when I was younger, because I didn't realize the sacrifice you made. Now that I'm a father, just like, dang, like, they loved me. No wonder they let me go to sleepovers and all that. Because I look at my daughter, I'm like, you're not going to go. You're not out of my sight when you grow up. You're not going to any sleepover. Because you don't know.
Definitely
you,
not.
You don't know who these people are. No, you don't know whose houses that they're going into. What those people do over there.
And if I did say yes, I would know the parents.
Exactly.
I would know the family dynamics. I would know all things. Just because, I mean, again, I just watched a video I sent to kid yesterday. You're playing odds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hope things go okay at this party or this event.
Yep.
I don't know. I hope the other kids that might be there are from families that have, you know, just good values that aren't going to bring poison.
I'm gonna play devil's advocate here and also kind of believe what I'm saying. You can't shelter your kid too much.
Oh, not at all. But sheltered, I want it to be on my terms.
Yeah. It's gonna, I mean, I'm gonna be a father. I'm not gonna be a best friend. I'm gonna be a father.
I get that. But like, that's good. And that, I mean, you can go to like the public school versus like private school whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I was talking to this Moroccan guy I met the other day who like owns like 12 different urgent cares.
Oh,
like he's an affluent man. He had kids and he just moved to Houston, and I assumed his kids were in a private school. I was just like, oh, this dude's like balling. He's not going to send his kids to public school. And I was like, oh, like what school do your kids go to? This like some private school or something? He's like, nah, dude, public school full on. And I was like, oh, what? Like, why?
It's free.
Cause he's like, nah. Well, he was like, that's what I did. That's what made like the struggles that I went through in certain things through public school was like what made me the man I am today. And like, he's like, I'd rather forge like, you know, kids that are able to deal with life afterwards, after no longer being my kids, right? And being adults, than having like sheltered them. And then like they go into the real world and they're like, oh, the real world is messed up. Like people out here doing crazy. Like I saw some stuff in public school that I definitely shouldn't have seen at my age. But like, yeah. But I mean, that's
it's also
real.
Teaching them to be aware of things. Like you don't shelter, but you also let them know, look, this is what goes on.
Yeah. But that's real. And like, I think if you can raise, and I'm not a father by any means, but I think if you can raise your kid to have a level of trust where they talk to you and they're not just like going to public school and not telling you anything, and you can talk to them through like, hey, some of the stuff that happened to them or stuff like that, and be like, hey, yeah, the world's like this. This is how you should react. This is, you know, what you do in that situation. I think that's more valuable than being sheltered through like being homeschooled or public or private schooled, done in the right way. Now the public school system seems like it's blowing it right now.
I didn't want to talk about that.
At least when I went through public school, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah. Even your generation, it was different than mine, like six or 7 years prior to that. And one, I think it 100% depends on the kids, but two, what you're explaining is very engaged parents, like very engaged parenting. And I think that is what is lacking in so much, because public school is just super convenient. Oh, I don't have to be with my kids or raise them.
It's
they're
like
being
a
raised.
Daycare.
Exactly. So if you're being intentional, like what you described, 100%. Yeah. You still have a daily active role in the shaping and the forming of the way that your children will view the world, like their outlook. But if you're just like, you know, wake up, you know, be there for your kids, get them out the door, and then you never talk to them, and they don't feel like they have a safe place at home or whatever. Yeah, that's what we have way too much of right now.
Read the news the other day. Some kid went to school and shot somebody or something like that, or outside of school on the property. The father came out and was like, I told the school he was being like, something was going to happen the way he's been acting. And that's why I was like, that's where a parent needs to step in. Like, if your son's slacking, you don't just tell the school your son is slacking.
You call the school your son.
You
Ace
made that.
Because you're the parent, not the teacher. And that's what parents like. That's where that's where the kind of the
shirking
if with public school is right now. Like, we're putting responsibility on the teachers, thinking like, oh, you're
that
you
they
gotta
should
raise
never
my
have
kid.
To
yeah.
carry.
It's
yeah.
crazy.
What are you doing?
It?
What are you teaching them? Blah, blah, blah. Like,
yeah. It's one of the, like, yeah, I think.
Yeah, 30 years old. I'm thinking, I'm like,
it's crazy.
Yo, anybody can any two people of opposite sex can make a child.
Yeah,
anybody can make a child.
As well.
That's probably
part.
One of the core things that's like wrong with the world. is like, it is the foundation of like people having kids that shouldn't be having kids, and yeah. people growing up to be messed up.
Especially kids having kids, and then they don't know. They didn't teach themselves any values, so they're teaching their kids how to. Oh, it's crazy. It's, yeah. There's a lot of stuff you can see on the internet.
Man.
That's tough. Now, because I'm thinking back and like, there was some crazy stuff that happened in public school. Like, there's this one kid during lunch. We would go to the library afterwards, me and this other guy, after we ate. And like, he had crazy in his eyes. And like, he would tell some stories about like, some crazy stuff. And I was like, dude. And then one day he just disappeared. Never saw him again. I was like, what happened to that guy? Like, and then there's just like some harder stuff. Like, I mean, there's a guy who I went to elementary school with. Who, I mean, we were never close. We were just friends because we like kind of went through school together. We would say what's up to each other, but nothing more
than
that.
It's like peers.
Never hung out outside of that. But he fully got murdered. Like he was in his home showering, little brother's home. And somebody like drove up, dropped somebody off, and he got like stabbed in the shower like multiple times. Like just fucking terrible murder. So stuff like that makes you think maybe public school is not great. But
yeah, I mean, yeah. And the sad part is literally also a fatherless generation right now, where you know, where mothers having to raise sons and single parents, and it's sad because it's kids need both parents, no matter what. Every kid needs a father, every kid needs a mother, and it's tough because they're not getting that, and so they're going to school and they're seeing stars, celebrities, and that's who they're idolizing. They're becoming that, and that's kind of what's happening right now.
And they're seeing they're feeling that the only way to get attention is to do these extreme things.
Extreme.
Because otherwise nobody's going to ever give me the time of day. And
yeah, I mean, it's crazy because like when you grow up, people's like, oh yeah, you're going to end up dead or in jail. But I went to a pretty bad public school. And so literally so many people are dead or in jail that I went to public school with.
Really?
I'm not even kidding. Dang. Like seriously, you,
like when 20, I was in high 20%? School, 30%.
You can point them out like, oh, you're that's gonna like you who they were hanging around with, and all those people who were hanging around, murder somebody, killed somebody. Dang. Some dude set his boss on fire 2 years after he graduated. One literally got murdered a few days ago. Like it's crazy. It's insane. And it's like, I'm so glad that I had a father. I mean, my father passed away when I was in high school, but I had a father. He was present. He told me right from wrong. He told me, don't hang out with those people.
Yeah.
We're not going to be doing that, this and that.
So many people don't have that.
Exactly. And so many people don't have that. And that's kind of why I'm like, this girl, you ain't going to sleepover because I don't know what house. I don't know what they got, what they're inviting over.
Or if
there.
She does, you're just going to be way more intense. Just like what Kid was saying, you will be intentional
like
with how it goes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, not so much at a
it depends
age.
On the age, I think. I think when she's
it depends
like
on the age,
teenager,
depends on the child.
The teenager will be more scared than when she's younger because what are they going to be doing? Who are they?
Oh, that's true.
That's fair.
You get to, because you get to those older years, if there is a crazy in the mix, it's going to get way crazy than if you're like, you know, 6, 7 years old and there's like a crazy 6 or 7 year old. Like,
so
at that point.
Like, I want, like you said, good communication with your community. I'm going to establish that early. Like, establish how was your day? What happened today? You know, you can open up to me. I don't know how I'm going to do that because I didn't have that, but I know I want that. And so I'm going to try to figure out some ways on how to actually be a communicative parent. And like, because I was insecure. I had so many things I didn't tell my parents about. I'm sure
every single
the same
one
thing.
Of us walking this planet has tons of insecurities.
And you get older, you're like, why was I scared to talk to them? Why was I scared? Why can't I just open up? Because our problems, especially when we're like young, our problems aren't as big as we think they are.
Yeah.
Like the girl.
Yeah, that's true.
But they always seem...
So certain things you come home, you're like, it's the end of the world. I'm dead.
Yeah.
And now I look back on it like,
my
so
life
silly.
Is over.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's exactly. not though. You guys can get up and move forward. Learn and grow. Excuse me. Other than that, relationships are great. We got some really good ones I'm grateful for. Thank God for every day. And even more relationships being made.
I'm more ready to be a father than I am like to find a wife.
I was going to tell you yesterday. I was like, it's coming, kid. It's coming.
I'm
have
more
a feeling.
Excited
it's
to
coming.
Be a dad than to like have a wife. Oh, like, for sure. I'm
when
like,
you find the see. Right wife, though, bro. Oh man.
That's funny. Oh.
Someone that you actually look forward to going through struggles with, that changes everything. Even friends like that too. Like friends where it's like, hey, I know and you know that we have each other's back so that, you know, come what may, we're going to be there for each other.
That's a good pickup line.
Gosh.
Trying to struggle together.
You're trying to struggle.
Oh God. Well,
you ready to go through thick and thin?
That's funny. We got a question from Deb from the Patreon.
Come on.
Deb says, what are your future plans, ninja life, etc.? Also wanted to say to Daniel, your faith is so inspiring.
Aw, thanks,
Deb. You can go first.
Okay, future life and plans and goals and... Well, first of all, thank you. What was your name again? Deb?
I don't know. You could try to say
okay,
the last
let's see. What do we got? Deb Wisniewski.
That's not bad, actually. You, I thought you were going to butcher more than
No. It's
that's
like a German. If it's German, then it's Wisniewski.
Ooh, maybe.
Yeah. Anyways, thank you so much. I love what I do, and the life I'm living now is a result of chasing after the dreams and the goals and being intentional about what I was putting my time, energy, and effort into. It's funny, you know, again, I'll bring up Mike Cook. He says, like, the greatest thing that we have in life is our time, and whatever we put it towards is what's going to determine our future. So when it comes to like Ninja and speaking and authoring books and creating content and resources, like those are all things that I've done a little bit over the years. But as for the future, in addition to competing as many years as I can and doing all the you know, athletic things, I want to go full time into speaking. I love it. I'm pretty good at it. Been doing it for 7-8 years now. I want to author more books and create content and resources, tools really that help people, because I think the world needs help more now than ever before. And if there's anything that I can say by the grace of God that helps people, cool, I'm here for it. And then like I think the sports of Ninja and OCR in general, obstacle course racing, is at such a cool space with so much more growth that will, I think, happen in the next couple of years. I'm positioned well to help be at the forefront of that. So I want to do more stuff with the community and the sport worldwide. And maybe starting a gym, maybe starting a family. Like, gosh, I'm more excited now than I've ever been before with what the future has to offer, because I look back at the last 10 years, and as difficult and as wild as it was, I'm grateful, and it was some of the most incredible memories I've ever made and adventures I've ever gone on. So thank you, Deb. And of course, my faith is literally the foundation of all that. So the good days, the bad days, and every day in between, I'm like, all right, Lord, like, we'll make it through. He's been faithful, and I'm going to do my best to be faithful to him and to the world around me, because I know that there's eyes on us, and I want to use the platform and the influence for good and as much good as I can. So
I got a question for you, Dan.
Oh no, Rocky, you always give the hardest questions.
No, it's just because I mean, you have a pretty fruitful life. You've done a lot of things with Ninja these past 10 years.
Yeah.
You wrote a book.
Yeah, I don't have $1 million in my account, though.
That's my question.
Oh, God,
is
I know.
Everything that you've done over these past 10 years worth more than that $1 million to you?
Oh, man. I mean, the short answer is yes, but the more thought-out answer is, and I posted this about a week or so ago. Mm-hmm. I waited to make sure everybody had watched the episode before I posted my thoughts on it. Mm-hmm. I don't do Ninja for money. It's a great byproduct, but I don't do anything in my life for the sole purpose of money. Mm-hmm. I think money is a great fruit, but I want to make sure that the trees that I plant in my life are, you know, in places and in locations that I want them to be in. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, I very much think that the life that I've lived is worth far more than $1 million. And again, I told someone at church this morning, someone was like, oh, we love you. We loved watching you and we're so proud of you. But man, we thought we were more upset than you were at losing.
Pretty sure.
I was like, I promise you weren't. I said, but also I said, you know, I did what I wanted to do, mm-hmm. which is get my rematch and beat it. I said, but also like there's so many ways in this world right now to make money that I'm not, I mean, losing a million like mm-hmm. that under those circumstances wasn't a life shattering.
I wouldn't think about it as losing $1 million.
But that's what happened.
Yeah, it was because
even for those 15 minutes, it was like, Daniel, you are.
If you think about it like that, though, I think it's going to bum you out more than it should.
True.
Because you're like, in that scenario, it's like, I had it and I lost it. Mm-hmm. In my mind, I'd be like, I never got it.
You know? Mm. So it wasn't all said and done yet.
Yeah. Because if you think like I lost $1 million, that would bum you out.
That's easy, like outside looking in, when you're like right there.
Oh, I mean,
like,
yeah, no, for sure.
You have it
for 15 minutes.
Yeah,
you
have it. Yeah, you have it.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
But I would. I mean, if I were you, I would try not to phrase it like that because it would bum me out more than it should.
Yeah. I mean, but we live in a world right now where that gossipy type of way of putting it, it sells.
Yeah.
And so, but for me, I look and it's easier for me because I look at what I'm currently in possession of as far as like the ideas and the projects I'm working on. Any one of them could be life changing and bring in millions. Mm-hmm. So as much as it was a disappointment to lose the million on the show, I'm like, okay, God, like, yeah, that was a bummer. I'm not going to lie about it. So, but at the same time, I've got so many other things that if any one of these projects I'm working on pan out the way that they can, not guaranteed, but the way that they could, like I won't have need for money. Mm-hmm. I won't. And again, when I look at my life and my future, I don't ever want to be so caught up with work or even ministry. I had a phone call with a pastor the other day and I said, hey, I'd love to come out and minister to your church or do like a week long event, like what we're dreaming about doing. I said, but if it doesn't work financially and doesn't bless my family and my future kids and all the things that I'm working towards in life, I said, then I would rather say no to this because I won't sacrifice my time with my family or their well-being or their future for something that seems good in the moment or something that isn't actually as fruitful or well-paying as, you know, these other things I could spend my time doing. Mm-hmm. Part of it's learning to say no. Part of it's realizing that, you know, we have a lot to offer and we don't have to sell ourselves short to every little thing that opens up. But the pastor was super cool and he was super understanding. He's like, yeah, he was like, no, you had me at never putting ministry before your family. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, thanks, because that's my heart. But again, I have all these things in my life that any one of them could take off. And I'm really excited because maybe if I'd had $1 million, I would have slacked off on these other projects. Yep. I don't know. But what I do know is that I'm in control of myself and I'm going to choose joy and gratitude for the season. And I'm going to choose hard work and grind and time with my loved ones doing the things that I feel called to in the here and now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, technically you've already won. I mean, you've been chosen by God, your disciples. So you've already won. So $1 million is... Man, I mean,
sometimes it's hard to remind yourself that in the bad days.
Yeah,
though,
I know. I bet
it's not really as tangible as you like it to be.
I can't imagine. I busted my head open at UPS, like working at UPS.
I remember him calling me the day he did this. Actually.
No,
yeah, busting my head open, and I never sued.
Why?
I never.
Was it your fault?
It was definitely theirs. Definitely theirs. What? Never sued, and I was like, dang. I look back at it. Why didn't I do that?
Could have been a gazillionaire.
I could have been, yeah. I could have had something to help me out. But then I look back, I'm like, all right, God, you got my back. You've helped me out through there. But also, like, I need to start taking some advice from you. And I give myself away, you know, for free, too much.
It's been literally yesterday. I had a guy reach out. He'd messaged me like a week ago and said, hey, I've got this event in the upcoming months. And I mentioned your name. They want to bring you out in addition to what's already happening at this event. But it's a 1-day event for a few hours and here's what it pays. And it wasn't much. And so I hit him back up and I said, hey, like, thank you so much. I said, I'm not devaluing you at all. And I'm grateful for our relationship that we have. I said, but I promised Abby and I promised the Lord that in this season of life that I'm walking in right now, like I have what... I consider success. I have my day rates for what it costs for me to come out and do these events of various types. And I said, if this event wants to jump on the phone call and we talk about what it would look like to get me out there, what all additionally I can offer as far as like value goes, really make sure that if they want to pay my day rate, that it's not just paying me to show up. Like, here's all that I can do. I said, if they can do that and they want to talk, amazing. Let's do it. I said, but also I'm willing to say no if they can't and they're only going to pay what you're offering. And he came back a few days later and was like, hey, like they said that wouldn't work and you know, they're going to pass. And Abby was like, how do you feel about that, Daniel? And I said, well, I said, mixed emotions. I said, one, I didn't commit a whole weekend because I wouldn't be able to do other events if I'd have done this thing. Mm-hmm. And I said, and I told the guy, I said, hey, if saying yes to this for this amount means I have to say no to any other events for that weekend at my normal rate, which would be way, way different. And the impact and the influence, all that, all of it boiling in one pot. I said, Abby, as painful as it is to say no to any amount of money, I'm going to stick to my guns with what we are doing in this season of life. Mm-hmm. And we both ended up feeling really good about it. But yeah, learning to say no for the value that you bring is it's tough.
Yeah, it is tough. I mean, me and Kid were at this event before we came here. And there's a dude thanking everybody. And I was at that event myself.
He was thanking them?
He was thanking the volunteers.
I was waiting for him to thank you, and he never thanked you. And I was like,
exactly.
I was going to text you
all day. Like, and I've been there three to four times.
You be like, dang.
I'm there 3 to 4 times a week, all the time, doing stuff for them.
He definitely should have shown
volunteering.
In his defense, though, Rocky's like in a room behind, like doing the camera switching
stuff. Out of sight too.
You were out of sight, out of mind kind of thing.
Yeah, I was just like, dang. But I had to check myself. I was like, what do you do it for? I was like, you do it for the Lord. But then now you're talking about like with family, because I get kind of made fun of over there because like, oh, I can't do that. I'm going to be with my family. Like, oh, this dude don't want to come. He's got to be with his family. It was like,
no, church shaming don't should do that. Not be a thing, but it is.
They do that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, anywhere. I wouldn't say by and large, but there will always be people that criticize you for making any decision. Sure.
If they're not paying you, what?
Yeah. I mean, that's, again, going into that topic, church hurt often happens because of that. Like, mm-hmm. you start volunteering, you want to get more connected, you're excited about what God's doing there, excited about being involved. And then, you know, next thing you know, you're on a rotation of having to show up 2 hours before service every single week, being a greeter, doing whatever. Mm-hmm. And then when you realize 12 months down the road, you're like, hey, I'm kind of burnt out. Like, this isn't paying this type of dividends that I want. And I don't, like, yes, I'm doing it for God, but at the same time, like, there's zero rewards in the natural. Like, nobody's thanking me, and when I'm trying to get out, it's not a healthy place. And like, oh yeah, take time off, we have others that can mm-hmm. join it. And sometimes all it takes is asking. It's like, hey, I'm getting burnt out, I'm tired, I want to take a week or two off, can I only do this like bi-monthly or by, you know, once or twice a month, something like that. Mm-hmm. Then hopefully they should be good. But oftentimes there will always be people, even in churches, that are like, oh, no, this is your service to the Lord. It's like, ooh. Well, my service to the Lord is not paying the bills.
That's gross.
And then you talk to, there's a big thing about like, oh, Levitical priesthood, we're volunteer worshipers, like our service is to God. Well, you look in the Old Testament, those Levites that were singing and dancing and mm-hmm. praising God 24/7, like, that was their livelihood. They were taken care of. They were paid. And I'm like, if this is just a volunteer thing, then who are you to shame someone trying to do something for God into staying there against, you know, the health and well-being of themselves or their family? Mm-hmm. And so I'm hard up right now and saying, like, I won't put ministry before my family. Like, my walk with the Lord, yes, because if that's out of whack, everything else is out of whack.
Yeah.
But my walk with God and my daily interactions with the church aren't the exact same thing, because with the church, you still have people that are not perfect yet, mm-hmm. but your walk with the Lord, He is perfect. He will cover, He will provide ways. And if you have church issues, then I would say take them to God first, watch Him either open up a door, give you a creative idea, and then take it to your family, your church family. If they mm-hmm. are really a family, they'll make it work out. But God, that happens all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know. That should never happen. I mean, I'm not.
It shouldn't. It should never happen.
Yeah. If you got people volunteering and you're not taking care of them, that's absurd. But mm-hmm. I mean, if you give, you know, if you give people an inch, they'll take a mile kind of thing. If they become accustomed to you just volunteering, them not paying you, it just becomes a normal thing. And then when that becomes the new norm, they're no longer thankful and grateful for you. And when you take that away, it's an offense. Mm-hmm. It's like, now instead of being at the norm, he's underneath the norm. So he's offending me because he's not doing what he's always done.
And
yeah. That's why I would.
Yeah.
I would never be like, I'll do this. Like, you know, I'll do this every week. I'd be like, I'll help you out once. And mm-hmm. then like, maybe like next week, be like, hey, we do it again. I'm like, nope.
Yeah. And he's doing it.
Yeah. The problem is it gets worse when you're actually good, like really good at what you do, because then it's like, we want you. Yeah. Yeah. And unless you set healthy boundaries. Again, people blame God. Like, well, God, why did this situation happen? He's like, well, hey, I gave you free will. You could have said no.
Yeah.
And it doesn't offend me. You might offend church people, but you don't offend God with putting up healthy boundaries to cover your heart, cover your family. And, cause then, I mean, gosh, I can't tell you I've heard stories of people going and saying, hey, like, I'm really good at this. You guys depend on me a lot moving forward. If I'm going to continue doing this, I need this to be like a part-time job. Is there any available positions? Can you give me something? And sometimes the church will say, oh yeah, like gas and, you know, here's an hourly rate for the thing. Or they'll do something, right? Something to help give you your value for what you're doing as a member of the church who's giving their time. Mm-hmm. And if not, then it's like, hey, I love you guys, but bless God, I'm taking care of myself. And this is what I feel God is leading me to do. Again, you don't do things out of anger. You don't do things to get back at people or churches, but you don't sacrifice yourself for the sake of people. You sacrifice yourself for God. But unless God says, hey, I want you to stay here for this season until I release you, until I move you or change things, then remove yourself.
Yeah.
But most churches, I would say, aren't like that, but there are usually people in churches, especially those that shouldn't be in leadership, that are just maybe good at their job but aren't a great leader. They'll use and abuse you. So if you have people like that, pray for them. Talk to your head pastor or other people above them, and do what you can to help keep the church what it's supposed to be, a healthy place for broken people searching for a relationship with the Lord. So I digress.
That is, dang, that was kind of went on a spiel from that question.
Oh yeah. Thank you, Deb. You just like opened a wonderful can of worms in the best of ways.
To answer your question myself, future plans, Ninja, I'm retired for now.
Come on.
I have so many people asking me like, hey man, why are you
still here?
I'm retired, man. I fully am. I'm retired. I'm retired for now. I don't know that if in the future, like, I'll have something that'll make me want to come back.
You're not retired. You got the number one in the podcast.
I do. It's true. Yeah, but like from competition.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I'm not a retired ninja, but I'm a retired ninja, if you know what I mean. But yeah, I'm retired for now for sure. Cause I'm still like fully fulfilled athletically.
Yeah.
Physically.
Yeah.
So like
competitively.
Just the passion has changed a little bit.
Yeah. In terms of future plans, I'm working a lot on building another company now. I'm going to build a social media marketing agency. I don't know how much I'm going to talk about that, but that's kind of taking up a lot of my time. I've come to realize this though. I like am so productive in the morning. Like if I wake up at 8 a.m., from 8 a.m. to noon, I could just crank out work and like not be bothered. Once noon hits,
yeah, it's lunchtime.
Like, yeah, lunchtime. I get a little food and then I'm like, I don't want to do anything anymore. But it's funny because even when like back in the day, like when I woke up at like 10 or 11 in the ninja days, it's the same. Like once noon hits, I'm like, I lose that productivity. So if I'm sleeping in the morning, like I'm just not productive. Wow. I could be like athletically, I could be productive, go train, do all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking about like work stuff, like on a computer, building like a foundation for the company and other mm-hmm. stuff like that. That I have to do that stuff in the morning. So I've been trying to wake up at like 8 a.m., which isn't that early, but it's early not that for, early. It's early for me.
Yeah.
It's not early for me. It's about average for me. Like 7, 6 a.m. would be early for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm waking up, rolling out of bed, just getting to work on that. That's been fun. I'm grinding that and volleyball right now. And honestly, those are my two main focuses for this season. And then we got the Christmas light season coming up soon. Rocky knows about that. So
wish I didn't.
Kind of mentally getting ready for that. It's not that bad, dude. I like the Christmas light game because, like, I like when you step, like, you're done at night and you check the house out and it looks sick.
Yeah, you drive by it.
You're like, damn, I did that. Like, this house looks really cool thanks to me. And it, like, especially because I work on a lot of houses in my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're going to drive them all the time.
I'll drive in my neighborhood. Like,
Did that.
That's really cool feeling.
Wow.
But it's risky and roof stuff isn't great sometimes.
That's the only part I don't like.
Yeah, I mean, you're...
Yeah, it's hard work and there is risk involved.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just when you're up on a ladder or on a roof hanging off the side of a 3-story house, you're like, man, what am I doing this?
Don't slip, please.
Yeah, dude, there's some houses I'm going to refuse to do this year because of how sketchy they were. Yeah. Rocky did the one house with me. I'll tell a quick story, but essentially there was a ledge.
Why didn't you get paid for that?
No, I did pay you for that. Did I never pay you for that?
No. Nah.
I thought I did. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Did I not pay you for that? Hey, I don't remember not being that.
You got to bring it up. Otherwise, there's going to be bitterness and resentment, and it's going to drive a wedge between you guys.
There's no way, because I paid the other guys. I would have not.
Yeah, you didn't pay me.
Did I not? Dang,
cold blood.
I think I did. I can't.
No, you didn't.
Oh, man.
I promise.
Maybe I didn't.
Rocky's like, I wouldn't know.
I wouldn't know. Yeah, I got a mental checklist.
No, I think I gave it to you that one time when you did the LLC for me. I gave you, like, more money.
Mm-mm.
You sure?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, I'll have to look into that. But yeah, anyways, that house was that was Lucifer's house for sure. There's certain pitches on roofs that like you can't really walk on.
Mm-hmm.
And there's certain that you can sit on, but you can't like walk. And that was kind of like the steepness of this one. It was like you can kind of like shift around on it.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also like bail points to where like you can walk on it, but then like say you slip, you can just kind of hop to the side and you're good.
Okay, yeah.
But on this roof, it just opened up to like there's a safe point. Anytime there's an edge or a corner, it's a safe point.
Okay.
And then it goes out super far And then once you get far enough to where if you start slipping, you can't run to the left and be safe, you're just screwed. You fall like, and it's like, it feels like a 3-story house. It's super high.
Oh.
And we have to put lights all on this ledge, and my ladder doesn't reach that high. So I'm like on the edge of it, kind of like feet down, sitting, and I'm trying to clip these in. I'm starting to scoot over, and I'm like, I'm not shifting over without a rope. So then I get a harness, a rope attached behind me, and I get another guy we were working with. His name was Cody. He's a roofer, so he should be more comfortable doing this.
Yeah.
He's a contractor.
But since it was my job, I wasn't going to make him do the risky part. I was like, I'll do it myself. But he's holding me back. He has a harness on too. I'm roped in. And we're just like communicating. And I'm like, stop, hold me, boom, clip the lights in, going side to side. And Cody is talking to me while we're doing this. And like the tension he's holding is preventing me from falling over. If he like just slips and loosens, I'm going over the edge like easily. So if he's got to be on it.
Did he do it?
No, but he tells me that he randomly has seizures occasionally I'm doing this. He's like, sometimes I just spaz out and have seizures. I'm like, dude, don't tell me this.
You got epilepsy, didn't you know?
While my life is in your hands.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean? Like, maybe tell me this afterwards. So I'm like, praise God you didn't have a seizure during the thing. But I will not be doing that house again this year because that house was terrible.
Wow.
And that house, I'm not doing that house again.
Good night. Future's looking bright, though, for all of us.
Bought the truck. I just got a nice truck. I just bought a truck and I came up on it for sure. I got to put like a ladder rack on it though.
You make sure it wasn't stolen.
It's not stolen. No, I mean, I ran the numbers.
That's a nice car.
It is a nice car.
It's beauty. Gosh. Cool. Yeah, no, future's looking good. I mean, there's a lot happening in the ninja world, a lot happening in our personal worlds. And, what is it? We're coming up near the end of 2023.
Dang. It's hard to think about. It feels like it goes by so fast every time.
Yep. Older I get, the more time travels quickly.
3 months is a quarter of a year. That's hard to think about. I spent a quarter of a year in France. That's tough. Because for me, like that's a blip. But I guess if you think about it, there's 4 seasons, 3 months.
It
adds up.
It adds up.
The math checks out. The math definitely checks out. All right, guys, I think we're gonna wrap it there for today.
This was good.
Once again, guys, if you want to be a part of the Patreon or buy merch or do stuff like that, all those links are in the Instagram link tree that's now been set up. We'll be posting a lot more stuff soon, but if you don't want to go to the link tree, it's patreon.com/kindanice. Once again, you get access to exclusive content, the merch discount, a bunch of other stuff. We hope you guys enjoyed the 75th episode. We will catch you guys next week on the Kinda Nice Podcast.
Peace. See you then.
I'm kinda nice with the gear. Shout out my area code. I'm feeling nice with the drill. And I'm about to bury the